This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, happy weekend out there to everybody at TFMR. Hey, it is Sunday, and it is time for another one of those special podcasts. You know, the ones we like to do a couple times a month, get people, CEOs, executives within the precious metals industry, mining companies, kind of bring some companies to your attention that maybe you've not heard of before, something for you to consider. Recall just last Sunday, I brought to your attention a company called Altale, and they are a silver producer down in Mexico. And the reason I did that is I had several of you reach out to me and say, okay, this is great. I love the gold. I love the royalty companies. The uranium has been fun. Silver looks like it might be ready to roll with all the rest of these industrial metals. So how about some silver names, maybe some silver names we've never heard of? And that's why when I came up with Altale. And now today I have Barry Girling on the line. He's director and vice president at Silverton Metals. Again, you probably haven't heard of Silverton Metals. I hadn't before I started looking into it earlier this week. But Silverton Metals, again, now down in Mexico. Now, they're not mining yet. There's even still some drilling that needs to be done. So this is some early stage stuff. And it is, we'll call it, I don't even want to call it microcap. That almost seems like too small, but it's not a very big company at this point. So this is one we kind of want to kick the tires on and learn more about. And that's why Barry's here. So Barry, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me, Craig.
Hey, before we get started, let's just start with your background and maybe the background of the team that has been put together at Silverton. What can you tell us?
Well, it's a really strong team. The CEO is John Theobald. He's a mining engineer based in London, England. One of the other directors is Gordon Wiley. He used to be the exploration manager for Anglo American for a number of years. He's been to lots of places a lot of people would want to go looking for gold and silver. Mm-hmm. And Gunther Rohlig is the fourth director, counting myself. So it's a strong, experienced mining team. And we also have great advisors in Mexico as well. So we have a very strong team in place.
And Gordon, when I saw his name on the list, that got my attention, because as you said, he was a head of global exploration, wasn't he? Or one of the heads at Anglo Gold Ashanti for years.
Yes, he was.
So, I mean, he knows his way around the map, obviously.
Yeah, he was one of the first movers into Colombia and other places when nobody else wanted to go there. So he's been to lots of very much third world jurisdictions.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a guy you got to have, especially in something like this. Now, these before we get to the company itself, though, because we're going to also talk about, you know, when you're mining silver, a lot of times you're getting it as a byproduct. Sometimes you're a primary silver miner, but, you know, other base metals come out. And geez, Barry, we're seeing it's just such an incredible time. You know, it's kind of the stagflationary environment, you know, with all these supply chain issues, you know, it's a very slow global economic recovery from, you know, you can't shut the world down for 12 months and just flip a switch and turn it all back on. And so even just, you know, in the last week or two, a lot of these base metals have just exploded higher in price, and kind of watching silver start to wake up as well. I know you're excited to be a part of this company, but I would think you've got to be excited about just kind of the timing of it all too.
I agree 100%. I mean, I think that there's great opportunities with silver, and a lot of the silver deposits, silver is a co-product with the base metal production. So you get both when you go mining it.
And as you look at it, I'm sure that we're going to find some base metals to it, but I mean, does that factor into, you know, this kind of bull market in commodities? I mean, do you kind of factor that into it, you know, in your plans for the company?
We're focused on silver and sort of take the base metal benefit when it comes, recognizing that, you know, with our two first priority projects, one of them we mine, you know, if we produce silver, we will be producing base metals, but the focus is on silver.
Right. So let's go there, Barry. I mean, tell us, just walk us through. You've got three of them that you guys have acquired. Some have been drilled, maybe some are just getting started drilling. Got some ideas on your mind. Tell us about where you are in Mexico and just what you can tell us about the properties.
Well, the there's three properties. The two that are the most important and the highest focus right now are Pasco Camado. My Mexican Spanish pronunciation is terrible. I apologize. It's a very unique deposit. It's a silver oxide deposit. It's located about 60 miles from the U.S. Mexican border. So it's on near highways. It's got good infrastructure. being oxide, if you get to the production point, it's much simpler silver production. You don't have to have the intricate, you know, as intricate a mill to produce it. You know, we have a resource there. We're going to be starting to drill before long to try and expand that. That's a unique in that it's a primary silver deposit. There's not very many deposits out there, the primary silver. As I said, most are a silver co-product. The other one is Pluton. That's over near Exelon's Platosa deposit. Mm-hmm. They've come out with some excellent results of late. It's the same geology. You're looking at a carbonate replacement deposit. Extreme high grade. I mean, Exelon came out with an intercept last week or the week before where they had 1,800 grams per ton silver equivalent over 5 meters. And so that's the, you know, that's factoring in your lead and zinc to get a silver equivalent. But that's the type of grade and deposit we're looking for. And the more we look at that, the more we like it. So that's the one that I like the best and really excited about. That's right in a jurisdiction that's been producing for 300 years. That Pagnoli's had their first, one of their first acquisitions in that area. And that mine ended up running for 300 years and made 900 million ounces of silver. Pardon me, 19 million ounces of silver.
So I know in looking at your financials, I saw that as the end of the second quarter, you had 5 million in cash, which again, when we apply that versus your current market cap, that's pretty high percentage, but you've got cash. I would suppose that leads you to more drilling and proving out in the weeks and months to come.
Exactly. I mean, where we are permitted now for a Pasco Camado. We have signed a drill contract. The driller hasn't given us the date for mobilization, but I would expect within 2 weeks, the drills will be turning on Pasco Camado. We're probably the first quarter of next year to start drilling Pluton because there's some preliminary target refinement work that needs to take place. We're looking at a geological area contact between the carbonate horizon and the overlying shales. We're trying to map out the exact depth in that because prior drilling never went deep enough. It got lots of smoke, if you will, and that we saw narrow veins of high-grade base metal silver mineralization. Mm-hmm. We're not looking for the little narrow feeder veins. We're looking for the source of it, if you will. And so those targets should be ready to be drilled after the seismic survey and the geophysics first quarter of next year.
How are you? I mean, I've talked to some guys that are like, yeah, we had all these ideas to drill. And that's been put behind, you know, by the global supply chain issues and even getting that stuff assayed then is getting held up. How are things in Mexico in that regard?
They're impacted. I mean, there's been a lot of work going on in Mexico. You go looking for a drill, you're going to wait to get a drill. But it's moving relatively well forward. I mean, everybody's experiencing assay delays. You know, you can get your core sampled and off to the lab, and quite often it sits in a bag for, you know, 4 to 6 weeks before they start processing it and giving you the results. But it's moving. I mean, a lot of other times you get the same delay issues at the laboratories or drill companies when metal prices are strong.
Yeah. What? So obviously that's the next step. Is there anything that's close to getting in toward production, or do we want to prove this all out and kind of get, you know, raise the value of it for, you know, how you value the ounces in the ground? What direction does this eventually go?
Well, I mean, ultimately every company's end point is to try to get towards production. Ours is, I mean, we're not ready to get there yet. You know, Pasco Camado, we have historic resources there. At the end of the next drill program, they will no longer be historic. They'll be current resources. And, you know, assuming that we have the success, Raul, our geologist, thinks we will, we'll have a larger resource there. Yeah, you know, and to get to production, you want to balance off what is your resources versus how fast are you going to mine and mill it? Because you don't want to race to production too fast and realize you built the mill too small. Right. So you really got to, you know, have full assessment of what the resource and the resource potential is before taking the next step. And at Pluton, you know, that's the one, if you can't tell, that's the one we're most excited about because it's got that really high grade potential. The deeper we look at it, you know, we've got mag targets in underneath the historic drilling. You know, an increased magnetic signature is an indication of, you know, something that is massive and magnetic down below, which, you know, base metals, particularly lead, can give you magnetic signatures with some of the ancillary minerals with it. That one, you know, we haven't even really hit a drill hole into what we're seeking yet, but, you know, with Exelon beside us and, you know, the mine that really made Pagnoli's just a long strike a little bit. It's fantastic geology, great location. We're really excited about that one.
Now, I'm going to have some links on this page as folks are listening to the fact sheet and the investor presentation that you can take, you know, that are right there at the Silverton Metals website. Back to that Pluton property, though, because we all know that Durango is a great mining district. I mean, it's a great Mexican state, very supportive as a jurisdiction. You mentioned Exxon. I mean, it's not, let me back that up even further. It's, you know, it's not like you can just go start scraping at the ground and pulling silver out, but there's a lot of silver there, obviously. You mentioned Exxon. Any other, I mean, are there other companies that are kind of close to that area, kind of lead to even more confidence of what you potentially have there?
Well, Peñoles had the La Ojeda deposit, which was mined for about 300 years, 90 million ounces of gold. And it's, you know, you're looking at chimneys, which are vertical, or else the horizontal carbonate replacement deposits. And they chased that one down to 800 meters of depth, you know, over the 300 years. So they got, as they got deeper and deeper, it got harder to mine, obviously, as you go down deeper. But I mean, that was a fantastic mine for Peñoles. It was one of their first acquisitions. And you look at the size of Peñoles now, and a lot of that was funded out of the cash flow from that deposit, that mine. So, you know, our belief is that we have exactly the same geology as both those two other deposits. We have, as I said, the previous drilling, we got narrow veins up into the shales when we needed to get down into the carbonates to really look for the source of the deposit. But I mean, those minerals in the veins, they're not going to migrate long distances. They're going to come up through the zones of weakness and faults and stuff like that. So it is the smoke showing something is deeper down there. And now the geophysics is, you know, confirming that on the interpretation. I mean, ultimately you need the drill hole through it to be the truth machine. But I mean, if that jurisdiction, that location made Exelon what it is today, it helped make Peñoles what it was. It's certainly a foundational brick for that company. It's a hugely exciting deposit area. And you know, there's nothing like being close to a major mine. And we are very close to both of those in exactly the same geology. And we've got all the pathfinders and, you know, we're excited.
Yeah. Well, and again, I'm drilling down to this a little bit because, again, I mean, a company, $15 million U.S. market cap. That sound about right?
That's in the ballpark. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, that's why the more you find out about these properties, the more you can start going, okay, yeah, I can see the deal here. So, and the other one you mentioned that can I even take a stab at it? Peñasco Quemado.
That's about as well as I say it.
I think I had that with a side of rice and beans last week. It was delicious. Peñasco Quemado is now, that one's in the Sonora district, correct? Right. Yeah. Or state of Sonora.
Yes.
And it's been drilled before, but it looks like you want to get in there and do some more.
Yeah, no, we're looking at expanding upon where it was before. I mean, that's a near surface open pittable. It's mostly oxide, but there is some sulfide deposits there as well. I mean, it's not anywhere near as high grade as what the potential for Pluton is. But when you're oxidized near surface material, your mining costs would be incredibly low, particularly in Mexico. And, you know, open pit mines are a lot more, can be very economic, a lot cheaper production costs.
And again, I bring all this up because if I'm right about, so, and I say all of us on this site are long-term believers in silver, not just as an industrial metal, but even a monetary metal. And you think of in this environment, you know, we start moving up through 30, we could get to 40 quickly, and all of this stuff starts getting really, really interesting and attractive to not only for your company, but for other companies, obviously, as well, that are looking for resources. I mentioned this earlier. We trade about, 50 cents Canadian, 40 cents U.S., 27 million shares outstanding, if my memory serves me right. So again, market cap down around 15 million U.S.
Yep.
Yes. And do you know the percentage that you guys hold the shares? Did that come off the top of your head, Barry? As
the management team, it may not be that high, but as the friends and close associates of the management team, it's probably somewhere around 20-30%.
That's important. You know, obviously, I mean, you guys have your own skin in the game and have a great interest in making this work. Like I said, you got the team together. You got some folks there that that know, you know, where to stick the drill in the ground and where to stake things out, and have a history of that level of success. Really underdeveloped area and, like I said, relatively unknown company. I think this is a very interested, if highly speculative idea. What, as we wrap up, I mean, what have I missed? Is there anything else we should add?
No, I mean, it is at the early stages of exploration. I think that Pasco Kamado is going to increase our silver resource base, which, you know, will bring the valuation. We hit on Pluton and demonstrate that we have carbonate hosted deposits similar to what, you know, Exelon or something has. I think that there's potential for a complete re-rating of the valuation of the stock. That's it. Got the caveat there. You got to hit the drill hole, but man, we're excited. We really think we've got great targets, and, you know, we'll be testing them.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. So let me see. Up in Canada, we've got, again, Silverton Metals. So we've got SV as in Victor, TN. Does that sound right?
That is absolutely correct.
We're going to stick an F on that, as we always do down here in the U.S. SVTNF. I will put on this webpage links to the Silverton Metal website. Like I said, the fact sheet, the investor presentation, some stuff about these resources. You can read for it all yourself. But as we always say, man, and you're not going to take my word for it or Barry's word for it. You've got to do all your own due diligence. And only you can decide if something fits into your time horizon, your risk tolerance, and everything else. But you can certainly start by clicking the links on this page, checking out a chart, researching those ticker symbols, and decide for yourself. You think silver's going higher? You got a long term. You think silver's going to $50 over the next couple of years? Something like this with a $15 million market cap, if it proves up, that's probably going to be a winner. So Barry, it's been really fun to get a chance to know you and visit with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time, Craig. Enjoyed it.
And will you promise you'll come back and update us as we get into the, you know, the first part of next year and start getting some of those results?
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
I would as well. And everybody, thank you for listening. I look forward to the next week ahead, but hopefully you've enjoyed this here on your Sunday. Again, please be sure to check out Silverton Metals.